Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
1 John 4:4, we are concluding our series, Greater in Me. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We've got something greater in us. Listen to this. God overrides, His Spirit overrides everything at such a level that the Apostle John could write, what's in you is greater than everything in this world. Isn't that awesome? I've just got to have one thing, and it's better than everything. And that one thing is the Spirit of Christ that resides in us. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've got something great on the inside of me. Watch out now. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Come on now. Ever been there? Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is our fourth session, our fourth Sunday. Very quickly, in session one, we learned that the devil comes at you to see what's in you. Session two, we learned that the treasure in us is greater than the trouble around us. Last week, after the Holy Ghost took over, we learned the three things the Holy Ghost gives the believer are power, protection, and confidence. But today, I want to talk about the things that we must do to keep the greatness on the inside, the Spirit, the things we must do to keep that Spirit ready to flow, that we don't lose that Spirit, that we don't let that Spirit die or go dormant in our life or snuff it out, but that Spirit is just as strong, church, on a Tuesday afternoon as it was 20 minutes ago in the middle of our worship service. That the Spirit of God is just as strong in the boardroom as it is at church. In the courtroom, just as much as it was during our worship experience. Our job as believers is to get the Spirit. Our job after we get the Spirit is to keep that Spirit operating at a level that it's flowing out of us. At such a pressure and in such a way that no matter what is coming at us can't get into us, because our outflow is greater than the inflow of the enemy. That no matter what you face on a Monday or Tuesday, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally or spiritually, nothing is going on around you that can affect you, because you've got something residing on you that you have literally become a dispenser and a housing component for the Spirit of God. And whenever you need God to do something, you just pivot and direct your flow of the Holy Ghost towards that thing, towards that person. Oh, I'm already preaching. I thought you'd be amen and better right here. That whatever you face, that there is a Spirit flowing out of you, and you can just pivot and point that thing and say, oh, today I'm not going to let that person get under my skin. I'm going to let the Spirit make up the difference. I'm going to let the Spirit handle them. I don't have time to stop. And I encouraged last night the young people, what Bishop always says, I've got too much in front of me to stop and throw a rock at every dog that barks. And so I'm going to let the Spirit do my fighting for me, because it's not by power and it's not by might, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord. And so when we have that Spirit, it's not enough to showcase it on Sundays. It's not enough to let it out on Sundays. It is an everyday thing. When I get good news, I'm going to let the Spirit go and I'm going to celebrate. When I get bad news, I'm going to let the Spirit go and make that bad news work together for the good, because I love God and I'm called according to His purpose. When I'm in the pit like Joseph, I'm going to let the Spirit go, and the Spirit's going to give me a strategy to get up out of the pit. When I'm in the prison, I'm going to let the Spirit go. And like Paul and Silas in the midnight hour, God is going to show up and show out and show me the promise that I'm going to get out. First thing we must do is we must live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Not visit the Spirit on Sundays. This is not a custody exchange. This is not visitation rites. I drove by a church that said, on their marquee, it said, God wants more than weekend custody or weekend visits. It's more than a Sunday experience. We must live in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, we will walk in the Spirit. The NIV says, if we live in the Spirit, we will keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit-filled lifestyle is not something we step into and out of. The Spirit-filled lifestyle is something we step into and we never leave. Let me say that again. The Spirit-filled lifestyle is something we step into and we never step out of it again. It's a part of who we are. It becomes a part of our spiritual DNA. And that spiritual DNA, it has all authority over our physical DNA. That's why I don't believe in generational curses, because the cross was enough. And what the cross did for me in the past, here in the future, now the Holy Ghost comes and now I've got a spiritual DNA. I look like Jesus. I sound like Jesus. I walk like Jesus. When I quote scripture, it's like Jesus saying, get thee behind me, Satan, or get under my feet. I've got a spiritual DNA. And when I stepped into that spirit in July of 1999, I haven't stepped out of it yet. It's been a part of my life the last 20 years. And I want to encourage somebody today. You need to step into the Spirit and you need to set up shop where the Spirit is and never again once step out of the Spirit. Spirit-filled lifestyle is bigger than Sunday morning. Somebody say yes. The Spirit-filled lifestyle is bigger than the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's the evidence. The Spirit-filled lifestyle is the purpose of the Holy Ghost, which is to lead, to guide, to teach, to direct. It is a comforter. Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Paul said, for in him we live, we move, we have our being, as certain also your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. I am a child of God. Jesus is my elder brother. I am a co-heir with Christ, which means everything that he gets, I get. Come on, that's a good place to get excited today, church. Let me just remind you, God is your Father. You are a child of God. You are no longer a servant. You are no longer a slave. You are a child. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. Jesus is not only our Savior and our Lord, he's my elder brother. And if you ever had an older brother that got your back, you could pick fights and then just step to the side and let your elder brother clean house. Well, that's what I do every day. The devil shows up and I pick a fight with him. I don't wait for him to pick a fight with me, and then I step to the side and say, all right, God, let your Spirit, my elder brother, let him do the work and the battling for me. So Paul said, in him we live, we move. Living and movement are different things. Paul said, I live in this place here, and I've got the Spirit here. But for us to fulfill the Great Commission or the purpose that God has in our life, we can't stay here. See, when you read the Word of God, the disciples over and over, anytime Jesus did something great, they thought this was the place. Because they were looking for him to build an earthly kingdom. And so the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses show up talking to Jesus. Thunder is heard, and Peter says, right here, let's build it. Let's build what you have come to build. And he missed that God was wanting to do something spiritually. And so when we talk about the Spirit of God and living in the Spirit, getting the Spirit where we live is important, but you can't stay here. Sunday is important, but you got a job to work tomorrow. You got to go to school tomorrow, so you can't stay here. That's why the writer would say, in him, in his Spirit, I live, but in his Spirit, I also move. That means that the power you felt at Living Way Church this morning during worship was not designed to stay here. It might be generated here, and this might be the epicenter and the genesis of what God starts, but praise God, when you leave on your way to Luby's today or Outback or McDonald's, you get to move with the Spirit of God. And the same presence that we call down here, you are now a recipient of. It resides in you. And anytime you want to feel like you felt at 11:40 today, you can just let that Spirit begin to flow, let that Spirit go, and let that Spirit do exactly what you need it to do. So Paul said, in him I live, move, and have my being. John would say it like this, greater is he that lives in us. That's our key verse. So Paul said, I live in him. John said, he lives in me. Who's wrong and who's right? They're both right. Because a true spirit-filled life is when I cannot tell where Brandon ends and the Holy Ghost begins. Come on now. I can't tell where the Holy Ghost ends and Brandon begins, which means I'm so spirit-filled now that my flesh is no longer a part of the process. I might still be fleshly, but I'm operating at a level in the Spirit that the Spirit, praise God, is operating greater and stronger than the flesh. It's why when I am tempted of the world and the enemy comes against me, I can say, no, devil, not today, not any day, not ever. Why? Because I live in the Spirit and the Spirit lives in me. I found a place where God is and I set up shop there, but guess what? When God calls me to do something and I gotta move, I'm like John. He lives in me. Everywhere I go, I'm in the Spirit, the Spirit's in me. I'm in the Spirit, the Spirit's in me. And so when I'm living, I'm in the Spirit. When I'm on the move, the Spirit's in me. I love that. I love the fact that when I come to Living Way, I know this is a house of the Spirit. And so when you step on this campus, I said it, this campus, when you drive out on the blacktop and you get parking spot number 228, let me tell you something, that's an anointed parking spot. And so I believe you can hear God out there like you hear him here. This is an anointed place. And so I live in this moment, and I live in the spiritual climate of what God is doing here locally at Living Way. But when God calls me to move in about 45 minutes, I'm not going to stay here. And I said, all right, God, I've been in you for the last hour and a half, but now I'm going to put you in me, and I'm going to take you home. I'm going to take you to work tomorrow. I've got a court case pending. I'm going to take you, and I'm just going to show you to the judge. I'm going to show you to the prosecutor. I'm going to show you to the defense attorney. Oh, I've got a big doctor's appointment coming. And so I know I live in Christ and I live in the Spirit, but I'm going to take you to BAMSI. I'm going to take you to SAMSI tomorrow morning. I'm going to take you to Northeast Baptist on Thursday afternoon, and we're going to showcase who you are. Why? Because I live in the Spirit and the Spirit lives in me. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, is it in you? We are spirit-fed and spirit-led. I heard that phrase from Carl Lentz 4 weeks ago, and it's been in my spirit every day. Spirit-fed, spirit-led. If you feed on the Spirit, you'll be led of the Spirit. If you're having trouble being led of the Spirit, it's because you're eating carnal things and not spiritual things. When we eat things of the Spirit, we begin to act like the Spirit. When we were a kid, you are what you are. And so we used to always love when they would show up with dum-dum lollipops and nerds. And that's like a second grade joke. Well, you're a dum-dum because you are what you eat. Well, now as a man, I put away the milk and I've got the meat as a mature believer. And I eat on spiritual things. And because I am what I eat, I begin to walk in the Spirit. I begin to talk in the Spirit. Has anything ever happened in your life and you didn't react like you used to react, and it surprised you? Like all hell broke loose, and instead of cussing them out, you just said, God, have your way. And you're like, who was that? No four-letter words? Not giving them a piece of my mind? Not hitting them with a two-piece and then letting them fall? I'm surprised. Why? Because I feed after the Spirit, and now I walk, I live after the Spirit. The next thing we must do after we live in the Spirit, we got into this a little already, is walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This I say, when you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Therefore, if we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, we are not walking in the Spirit. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we're not feeding on the things of the Spirit. We're listening to other things more than the Word of God. Pastor Mandy preached a brilliant sermon on Friday night on the Word of God. It is so brilliant that she's going to be preaching it 1 week from right now in this main sanctuary. Everybody needs to hear it. Multiple people said, we got to let the church hear this. So she's going to preach it next week. But I don't want to preach her sermon for you, but we've got so many people that are hearing things. And Pastor Becky said it yesterday. People are writing books. People are releasing podcasts. And all that's great. But when you listen to those things and read their books, you're hearing what they say about the Word. And rather than hear what they say about the word first, let me just go to the word. And I appreciate your book and I appreciate your podcast and all those things are great, but I want to go straight to the source. And when I feed on the word of God and I keep the spirit of God alive in me and the greatness that he is in me, I now can not only live, but I can get it on the move. And see, before you can walk, you've got to be able to stand up. Before that toddler takes his first few steps, he has to learn to stand. And while he's standing, he's holding on to things. But when you take that first step, it's different than standing. So some of us have been living in the spirit, but when we have to move is when we fulfill the lust of the flesh. But all that ends today because God is graduating you from milk to meat. God is graduating you to the spiritual things that you can feed on so that you can be what he's called you to be, and so that you don't have to stand in one place screaming about the goodness of God, but wherever you go, you become a dispenser and can take the Spirit of God with you. Number three, talking about ways to keep the Spirit going, keeping it alive, you can't stop the Spirit. We can't. I know they can't, but we can't. I think that more believers stop the flow of the Spirit than anything the adversary does. And so the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. That is Paul's directive to the church at Thessalonica, and he's beginning to see things and hear things about the believers in this church, that it's not an outside influence, but they're literally doing things that are causing the Spirit of God to stop flowing. They're building a dam, and it's no longer flowing out from them, and because it's now sedimentary, and it's stationary, and it's stagnant in their life, what is coming at them is now coming in them because they refuse to let it flow. Quench not the Spirit. That means don't stop the Spirit. Stop means don't block the Spirit. Get things out of your life that are blocking the Spirit of God. Get people's voices out of your life that are blocking the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the greatest counselor you can have, the greatest advice giver you can have. It's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Don't cut off the Spirit. Some of us, we shout about it on Sundays, and then we kink that water hose up Monday through Saturday, and we wonder why there's no flow and why nothing's happening in our lives. It's not because of the adversary. You got a kink in your own water hose, and you got to bend that thing back so that God can flow freely. Another definition for stop is to discontinue. You ever go somewhere and order something or try to buy something? They say, oh, we've discontinued that. You know the number one reason for discontinuing? Not enough people are interested. The reason we discontinue and we quench the Spirit from flowing in our lives is we become uninterested in the things of the Spirit, and we become more interested in the things of the flesh. Come on now, that's a hard saying, but it's true. And we become so interested in keeping up with the Kardashians. And we come so interested in getting a second and a third job so that we can make money and get to the place we want to be. And we start cutting out on church early. And I used to serve in this ministry, but now I got my feelings hurt. And I've been offended, so I'm going to step down. And here we are. And it's nothing on the outside. It's us just stopping the flow. Discontent. I'm no longer interested in fulfilling the spiritual things in my life. It's all about the physical things. Don't stop. Stop means don't terminate. Don't terminate the Spirit. And I don't want to get in a big discussion about this today, but I read online today a woman with a cardboard sign at one of these rallies, and it said, I had an abortion, and it was fabulous. Big smile on her face. The Bible talks about when evil is winked at and smiled about. Abortion is murder. They literally use the phrase, terminate the pregnancy. When we hear the phrase terminate the pregnancy, let's remember that that is a living being. No matter if it's this big or this big. It is a living being that God has a plan for, that he has known since the beginning of time, that God is raising up to be a voice for the generation, to be a hand for the generation, to be deliverance for a generation. So when you terminate a pregnancy, you are really terminating part of our future. When we terminate the gift of the Holy Ghost from being used in church and in believers' life, we are not only terminating what God wanted to do in that service, we are terminating what God was going to start in that service and continue in our future. That's why church is so important, and our altar response is so important, because it's not about what happens to you here. It's about what starts here that's going to spread to your mama and your kids, on your job, in your family, in your community. Who knows what God is going to start here? And so when we open these altars in just a few moments, we encourage you to join us in this altar. Why? Because we don't want to stop what God has planned. And when the Spirit of God begins to move, we don't want to cut it off. When we quench the Spirit, here's another definition for stop, for quench. It says grind to a screeching halt. You ever had to throw your brakes on? We just stop. We stop because of things in front of us. We stop because of fear. We stop because of things around us. We stop because of bad information. We stop because our car's not working right. We stop because somebody pulled the emergency brake as a trick. All of those, we screech to a stop. And what I'm seeing in a lot of churches today is they're all right with singing a couple songs, and they want to fill buildings up, and they want to build big bank accounts for their church and do all these great things, but they don't want the Spirit to move. And those churches, they might fill buildings up, but they have come to a screeching halt, because a church without the Spirit is a country club. A church without the Spirit is a waste of space. We ought to put an HEB in their church, and we ought to use it for something else, because without the Spirit of God, I can do nothing. Without the Spirit of God, we can't have the move that we had this morning. It all depends on us not stopping or quenching the Spirit of God. To go further, quench means to cool down suddenly. To quench means to subdue. So in this case, when we quench the Spirit, it means that we have been subdued by some other spirit. To quench means to terminate the flow, as in an electric current. It's literally flipping off the breaker. And what we've gotten really good doing in the Western world is we flip on the Spirit on Sundays at 10:55, and then we flip it off at 12:45. And on our way to Luby's, we're not the kindest drivers. And we're screaming, and we're bitter, and we're mad, and we're looking for a fight all the time. And it's because we're terminating that flow when we need it. When we need a miracle, it's on. When it's time, when I'm around church people, I put on my smile, and I don't use those six or seven words. I turn on the Spirit, and I turn off the Spirit. You need to break the on-off switch for your spirit. You need to just let it run and let it flow. The next thing we can't do if we want to keep that Spirit alive is we can't grieve the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." I have made mistakes in my life, and one of the Pastor Becky is an amazing mother, but one of the things that just kills me, and she said this maybe half a dozen times in my life, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Don't say that to me anymore, Mom. It just kills me. It's been a long time since she said that. What she's saying is you hurt, you grieved me, because I raised you better than that. You know better than to act like that. You know better than to do that. Can I tell you something? I'm not concerned with all the hellions outside of this church. I'm concerned with believers that know better but don't act better. That know the Word, but don't live up to the Word. That say they're Spirit-filled, yet they still fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm talking to a church today. We don't want to be that church. We want to be the Spirit-filled church that you can come here, and we're going to cast out devils. We're going to raise up the sick. We're going to leave this place, and whatever the devil comes against us with, we're going to showcase the Spirit of God, and we're going to leave here like superheroes. We're going to walk in the supernatural. We're going to walk in the anointing. In our wake, there are going to be miracle signs. Signs and wonders, all because the Spirit of God is not a switch that we flip on and off. It is not something that we quench, and it is definitely not something that we grieve. If I disappointed you, God, show me where I went wrong, and let me get the Spirit at a level again that I can make my comeback and be what you've called me to be, because your Spirit won't let me stay like I am. Strangers don't care when you make mistakes. The people closest to you, I'm disappointed. The Holy Spirit knows me better than anybody. When I make a mistake, He says, "Brennan, you're better than that. I'm not condemning you. I'm bringing you back to center. I'm recalibrating your life. I don't want you to grieve me. I want to be excited. I want to be like that baby in Elizabeth's. I want to be jumping on the inside of you. I don't want to cower down in you and be hurt and be offended and grieve because of the things you're doing, the things you're saying, the way you're acting. Next is to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18. There's two more, including this one. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Two of the great young ladies at this church, they've been coming here for a few months. They stopped me yesterday after the ladies had their lunch, and they were sharing with me. One of them's Catholic. I think one of them has no history of church. And so they are so hungry for the things of God. I think they might be in this service today. And one of them said, I want the Holy Ghost so bad. I want to speak in tongues. My children want to speak in tongues, and we're so excited, and we want to know more about it. And I just get ready. Just ask God for it. Come down front. We're going to help you receive it. And they're so hungry for the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. It is important for us to be hungry for it, and it's important for us to continue to be hungry for the Spirit of God and for the move of God. This is what Paul says. In all your prayers, in all your supplications, pray in the Spirit. He didn't say, if you're Spirit-filled, pray in the Spirit. He's talking to believers universally. And the assumption that Paul makes, church, is this. Every believer is filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because Paul does not preface this with any statement other than every time you pray, I don't care if you pray in English, Spanish, Portuguese, Latin, Greek, Aramaic, I don't care how you pray, at some point in that prayer, I'm going to pray in my spiritual language. I'm going to pray in my other tongue, in my heavenly language. Why? Because I only pray what I know. I only pray what I feel. I only pray what I'm going through. But when the Holy Ghost begins to pray, I'm praying for things in my future that I don't see yet. I'm praying against the adversary strategy that wants to come against me in October. I'm praying against the enemy's missile that's headed to my house. I'm praying against things that want to set up root in my children. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying for my children's spouse. I'm praying for my children's children's children. I don't know them by name yet, but the Spirit does, and the Spirit maketh utterance. And so when I begin to pray in the Spirit, that Spirit in me begins to get charged up. It begins to rumble. It begins to flip. It begins to do things in me, and I gotta let it out. And when I let it out, there is something greater coming out of me than what is coming at me. Woo! Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In my Bible, big S, that's the Holy Ghost. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Let me give you this challenge for the next 3 months of your life, which will end this year. However many minutes you pray in English or Spanish, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And I don't care if you pray 10 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in Spanish, 5 minutes in the Holy Ghost. Or if you pray 30 minutes in the day, 15 minutes in English, and then in the middle of your day, put yourself in your car. Now, you might not want to pray in the Holy Ghost at the top of your lungs at your job, but you can get in your car, shut that car, turn on the air condition, and just pray in the ora da basita da casa. Turn on some worship music and begin to create your world, begin to shift things in your future, begin to change things around you. I've got a spirit that's bigger than Sunday that I'm going to use tomorrow. I'm going to use Tuesday to cast out devils. I'm going to use Thursday to raise up the sick. I'm going to use Friday to put money in my bank account. The Spirit is for power in the life of believers. Stand on your feet. The last one to keep the Spirit, to keep the Spirit flowing, to keep the strong, Paul had a mentee. He had a young man that he was mentoring named Timothy. He writes to Timothy, and one of the most famous quotes from his two letters to Timothy is this: stir up the gift. He didn't say, keep it stirred. What he was saying is I've noticed that the Spirit is not as strong in you as it used to be. See, if he was just encouraging him, he would say, keep the Spirit stirred. But this is a rebuke. He said, stir up the gift. You let it go silent. You let it be quenched. You stopped it. You didn't walk it. You didn't live it. And it's time that you start. I got good news for everybody that's ever received the Holy Ghost. It's still in you. I know it's been a couple years since you spoke in tongues. This might have been 10 years since you ran an aisle or your lip was quivering with big tears. But I've got good. It's still in you. It's still there. It's still ready. And all you've got to do on a Sunday in September is stir up the gift. Pastor Becky is a woman of many, many talents. She sings like an angel. She can play that keyboard. Been a while since she thumped on that B3 right there. I'm going to tell you what she's really good at: cooking. Now, Tuesday, I start, and this is going to be the final time in Jesus' name, I start my regimen of getting this weight off, getting in shape, and all that. I can do it. Amen. I appreciate it because everybody's like, we've heard this before, Pastor Brandon. Yeah. Get thee behind. No, just kidding. There's something greater in me than what's coming at me. I say that to say this. So I start Tuesday, and she's having a shrimp fry on Friday. Help me, church. Help me. One of my favorite things that Pastor Becky makes, and you've heard me tell this before, is she makes some good gravy. And listen, she makes gravy. I eat that gravy on eggs, rice, biscuits, burgers. Whatever I can get under it, I'm going to put it on there. So she always makes extra, and she sends it in a Tupperware home. I don't like leftovers. So one day she asked me, she says, you enjoying that gravy? I said, Mom, it's not the same as the moment you cook it. I said, there's that thick film over the top. It's hard. I said, I stir it up. I put it in the microwave. Nothing. She said, oh, baby, you got to add some milk to it. And when you add milk to it and you heat it up, it's going to be as good or better because everything's been. Man, I put that milk in there. And listen, none of this skim milk. I got like condensed pet milk, cream. My kids looking at me, this is my gravy. Grandma didn't give you none. And lo and behold, I stirred it up. I heated it up. It was better than before. It's still in you, church. It's still in you, man of God. It's still in you, woman of God. Greatness is in you. I don't care what they said. Greatness is in you. I don't care what X said. Greatness is in you. I don't care what mom said. I don't care what stepdaddy did. Greatness is in you. And if you will be a Timothy and stir it up and add a little fresh and breathe on me again and heat me up, God, I will let the greater in me go. Somebody give God a big praise. Somebody give God a bigger praise. It's in me, Jesus. Hey, the most high.